And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you once again for RBLR Sports, and specifically covering the Rowdies today. I am here back, like I said, but I am with someone
back
the whole time. Carlos. Carlos, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, James. I'm sure I'm not doing as well as you post, you know, your travels about the world. So I'm excited to hear about that later on. Or now. I don't know. We can see how we're doing. It's a lovely Tuesday evening, 6:23 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm feeling pretty good. I have a big test this Friday. Please keep send good vibes. I don't know. That's kind of all that's going on in my life. I've just been working, studying, and I have an LSAT on Friday. And watching the Rowdies. That's been fun. Maybe not as fun this past weekend, but honestly, whatever. We'll get to that in a second. James, more importantly, I'm excited to hear about how you're doing and maybe just a little bit about how your travels around the world have been. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I'm doing well. And as you said, I was traveling, not quite around the world, but at least to Scotland. It was my first time being there. And as I have said probably multiple times, my dad is from Scotland. So it was the first time that I got to go home to that part of, you know, the family tree. I've been to where my mom is from, Germany, quite a few times, but never here. So it was lovely that my wife kind of went along with me. I think that she enjoyed certain parts, certainly not the weather, but yeah, she still had a good time as far as I'm aware. So it was very nice of her to humor me on a couple of the detours that I had us take, many of which were related to soccer. So yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more. But as you said, Carlos, there is something that we usually cover every week. That is the Tampa Bay Rowdies, and that is what we're actually here to talk about. So let's do that a little bit before we talk about anything else. So yeah, this past weekend, unfortunately, the Rowdies dropped points at home versus Pittsburgh Riverhounds, losing 2-0. Like I said, I am back, but I missed several 100th game appearances for a couple of players. I missed several injury returnees, so that's positive. Let's at least talk about those at some point here.
Absolutely.
Liz was filling in for me in terms of their prediction. She got me a point from this past game. Everyone else got zero, so that puts the guest on 25, Eureka, the producer, on 24, Carlos on 22, and I am on 19. So thank you, Liz, for at least boosting my stock a little bit while I was out. Now, we do have another game to preview. It is the last game of the regular season, and that is away against Louisville City. If you haven't heard of Louisville City before, I don't know how long you've been following the Rowdies, but these are our perennial rivals, so we will have something to talk about, even if this game has fewer implications on the table than we think. And before we get started, just want to say, of course, please like and subscribe to us everywhere, including on YouTube. You can also follow us on any major podcast platform, and please follow us as well on social media at RBLR Sports. We are on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, wherever you are, we are there too. That's right, we are including TikTok now, so please check us out there if you are one of those people who is not my age. So, Carlos, if you could please get us started on the quick recap, and then we'll get going.
Wait, I'm so excited to see RBLR TikTok content, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see, like, Eureka doing, like, TikTok dances if we win games.
On the field.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be fun. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but Eureka's listening to this as we record, so maybe jot that down as an idea. okay, quick recap regarding this past weekend's disappointing result, I'd say. Your starting lineup was not too different from anything you would expect. Connor Sparrow in goal, Jordan Doherty, Lasso, Guillen making up a bit of that backline unit. You also have Antley, Ekra, Hilton, Armin, and Dennis, Jennings, and Perez making up the more attacking part of the unit. Obviously, Jennings as that main striker. He has been on fire recently. Unfortunately, did not keep up that goal-scoring streak against Pittsburgh, but one prolific goal scorer who did keep up his goal scoring ways was Albert Dequa for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. He is, of course, by far their leading goal scorer and one of the, I think he's leading the Golden Boot race, actually. He was the player we highlighted last week with Liz, and it is no surprise that he got on the score sheet. Maybe a bit surprising how early that happened. I think it kind of shell-shocked the Rowdies a bit there. Literally a minute into the game, Albert Dequa got on the score sheet, found himself by himself on the back post, which should never be happening with a player of his caliber. We should always be having a guy on this kind of, you know, quality player. But unfortunately, he did find the goal with an assist from former Rowdy Junior Etu. The Riverhounds also scored in the second half later on to make the game 2-0. It was not an Albert Dequa goal, surprisingly. Unfortunately, that is how the game would finish. The Rowdies would drop all 3 points in their last home game and lose any chance of catching up to Pittsburgh in the first place spot. That's it. The Rowdies are locked into the second place position in the Eastern Conference. It is by no means a bad season. The second place is great. I mean, you went into the playoffs, you get a good seed in the playoffs. It is unfortunately not that first seed that we had been hoping for. We'd been in punching distance this entire time, really. But Pittsburgh did pull away at the end, and this was truly the nail in the coffin for them. Congrats to them on the supporter shield. I think it's been far too long, actually, since they finished in the first place. Always had a good team. I think they finally put the strings together. We'll see how they do in the playoffs. That's it. Biggest Rowdies news, apart from losing the possibility of getting first place, is that Leo Fernandez made his debut this season. And it's really, really fun to see, really exciting. A player that's been working very hard behind the scenes to get back into shape. And here he is debuting for the Rowdies this 2023 season. Really great stuff. We'll talk about that later on, maybe the implications of that, James. But just from like a fan's perspective, really nice to see him back on the team. Lovely. Welcome back, Leo Fernandez. Questions and analysis, James. Let's just jump into how the game actually went and maybe why it went that way. Let's start with that first goal. What the hell? That's my question. What happened there in a matter of literally seconds? Albert Dequa, the one guy we had been saying to look out for, the one guy that we know is a threat on the goal. How did he end up so wide open? And then let's jump into the rest of the first half. But let's start with that first play. What happened there, James? You're the tactical mastermind on this podcast. What's going on? Because all I saw was a guy that was way too wide open, and the guy that should never be open at all is Albert Dequa. What happened?
Yeah, I did not get to see all of this game in getting back late Sunday, but obviously I have seen the highlights, and the highlights are longer than 30 seconds. Therefore, I have seen the first goal. it was crazy. So it just started with a kickoff going back and forth at, you know, for the first 10 seconds or so, and then the Rowdies kind of got the ball up a little bit past halfway where they lost it. And from there, I think it was actually Albert Dequa who had the ball, if I'm not mistaken, in the middle. And he passed it back from his position right in front of our defensive line to Canardo Forbes. Now, Canardo Forbes is another very long-term player for Pittsburgh Riverhounds. He is pretty much another legend at that club, along with other players like Albert Dequa appears to be on his way to becoming. But anyway, yeah, Canardo Forbes is somebody that you have to put under pressure immediately because you know what he can do as a playmaker. And he did it here. He received the ball from Albert Dequa, if I'm not mistaken, and he turned to his left, streaking into space was a wide open Junior Etu. If you are a Rowdies fan, you should also be familiar with the name Junior Etu because he played with us last season. And that never should have happened. I mean, it's just ridiculous that he was in that much space, for one thing. And beyond that, of course, it's just honestly, I think what happened is we felt too early on like it was just, you know, we're getting started here. We're still rolling ourselves into the game. It's one of those things where they started firing on all cylinders, obviously. And they catch us on a little bit of a lucky break while we are just kind of waking up into the game. Usually they don't go that quickly, obviously. They don't get started immediately like that. But obviously Pittsburgh Riverhounds had a point to prove. And that point was, A, they wanted to maintain their position in the Eastern Conference. But, B, they wanted to finish, like you said, on top of the league table. I think based on the West Conference that they have that all sealed up at this point. So they cannot be caught, and they wanted it from the very beginning. It's hardly ever one of those. I really hate that I've said this before, but I really hate that cliche of, you know, they just wanted it more, something like that. Phoenix did, you know, they actually came out pretty much like they just were ready to go. So I want to start with Nikki. Well, I guess it's not starting, but Nikki Law's first comment from the post-game press conference here. I thought we were outfought, outbattled all night long, to be honest, literally from the first whistle. You know, that's just the way that it was there. If Kenardo Forbes can turn to his left and find somebody wide open in space, that's a failure right there. And then, obviously, something that you had already pointed out, if Junior Etu, from his wide open space, can find somebody on the back post, Albert Dequa, wide open in space, that's another problem. I think that that was a huge failure on both sides, obviously, and on both sides of the field, I should say, like literally our right when Junior Etu's in space, and then our left when Albert Dequa's in space. But, I mean, it's just – it's ridiculous that that is the way – that we come into a home game against a team that we have to beat to have any chance of getting up to the top of the Eastern Conference. Obviously now that's gone, now that it's Tuesday, but they don't know that going into this. You know, you need to be yourself firing on all cylinders, and we just weren't to start the game. So they caught us napping. I really don't think there's a lot more to it than that, other than, you know, the tactics of where players are lining up. That's, you know, Albert Dequa took up his position that was in front of our back line to receive the ball, play it backwards. Then he kind of snuck around and got to the back post without anybody following him. So, it's really, really unfortunate that that is the way that we started. But Carlos, I have to turn it over to you for the rest of the first half here. Like I said, how did you see us going? I mean, based on that quote from Nikki Law and obviously the rest of the highlights that I saw, I think the Rowdies did have a couple of chances, but it seemed to me that Pittsburgh were absolutely the dominant team and that they were creating a lot more than we were the whole time.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about like the dominant team. I think they played a better game, obviously. I mean, they won. It's hard to not play the better game and win. I guess play worse and win, right? Like by definition. Honestly, like we played – it's one of those games that's kind of annoying because we played – pretty well, actually. We had plenty of really good looking opportunities throughout the game, especially in the first half. Plenty of good chances, and Jamali Waite, the Pittsburgh goalie, stood on his head when he had to. There was plenty of opportunities that on, you know, slightly worse goalies would have definitely gone in. And again, I love, like, Jamali is a fantastic goalie, a fantastic person. Every time I get to like watch him play, it's really fun because I saw him play against us when he played for UConn back in my sophomore year. Really, really great guy then and really great guy now. But it's really annoying because he's such a good goalie when he plays against your team. And he kept them in the game when he had to. When there were times that Rowdies were really pushing for the equalizer, like, he made some incredible saves. And honestly, he was a huge factor in their game. Against any other goalie, I genuinely think we're tied by halftime, at least. Like, I don't think Pittsburgh entirely outplayed us. If you look at the stats, we outshot them, which usually doesn't mean that much. But, like, the Fought Mob stat of, like, big chances created is 1 for us, 2 for Pittsburgh. We missed our big chance, quote-unquote. We had 72% possession, by the way, which is kind of a crazy stat, and that's usually how we like to play with, like, you know, a lot of ball. Like, I'm not gonna say it's usually how I like to play, but we can play well with a lot of possession, playing down the wings, kind of imposing our game. But I think when you go down that early, literally what, 28, 29 seconds into the game, it can throw off a lot of your mentality. It can really kind of affect how the rest of the game goes, obviously.
Sure.
And I just kind of feel like we never really, like, made Pittsburgh believe that they weren't going to win the game. Like, once you go up by one, once you score that early goal, like, you could see Pittsburgh was really firing on all cylinders from literally kickoff. So it just didn't seem like we ever really, in hindsight, like, we ever really had a chance against a team that's playing that well. That's unfortunate because I think, like, against most other teams, we come out pretty victorious with that stat line and the opportunities created. I think Pittsburgh really just is a fantastic team this year. And I don't know, like it just didn't seem like we were able to. It wasn't, it seemed like, I'm not gonna say it wasn't our night, because I think that's cliche, but it really was their night, if that makes any sense. Like, they came into the game, they scored really early. And that first goal, like, there's not one player to blame on the Rowdies. If you look back at that goal, there's so many different, like, so many different things that went wrong, and so many different players that could have done something more. Like,
That's absolutely true.
if any one player did a little bit more and was like a bit more active coming back, then that goal would have never happened. Like, you have Jan Ekra, who's way too slow coming back. You have Guillen, who sees the guy for Pittsburgh kind of open at the top of the box. And instead of covering Dequa, he actually steps out to that guy in the middle, which leaves Dequa wide open. Armin, way too slow coming back. Armin is just way behind. Like, there's no way for him to catch up to Dequa. He had a good game otherwise, but on this opportunity in particular, he was just not really there. Maybe it's not his position to do that, to be fair, but like, there's just so many different guys that could have gotten involved a lot earlier and prevented it from happening. So I think that's what Nicky Law is saying when, like, he's saying that the whole team was kind of outworked from the get-go. I mean, that's kind of the prime example, was that first goal. You could see it happening in real time. Junior Etu. But, like, by the way, like, before Dequa even gets the ball, Junior Etu should have never been that wide open, like,
Exactly.
on the outside. Like, and maybe that's Antley. That's that's not Perez. Perez is on the other side. So there's just a variety of different players here in the midfield and the back line. Guillen didn't really necessarily do anything wrong, because there was a guy wide open there. Like, but there's just so many different guys that should have done more to prevent that from happening. If Pittsburgh doesn't get that first goal, like, you're talking about an entirely different game. Entirely different game. Because they didn't really create like a ton of this insane opportunities after that until they got their other goal. It kind of started absorbing the pressure. They have the quality to do that and get away with it. I mean, if they don't get that early goal, they don't have the opportunity to do that. And the Rowdies and them are kind of going back and forth. And you're talking about a game that could have gone in any other direction. Like you said, the Rowdies were literally still kind of just warming up. The smoke hadn't settled from Ralph's Mob's end,
Quite literally.
like from kickoff. Like, there's so many things that could have gone differently had we prevented that first goal. So it's a little disappointing. Admittedly, my confidence level for finishing in first place, regardless of if we won this game or not, was pretty low. Like, even if we did win this game, like, then we have to go to Pittsburgh and get a good result against, or sorry, we have to go to Louisville and get like a win out there against Louisville, because Pittsburgh's playing Detroit in the next game. Like, I know that doesn't really matter. Like, we should have won this game first and then worried about that later. But I think my point is saying, like, I'm not like insanely disappointed by finishing in second place, just because I think there was other results earlier in the season that I'd be more disappointed by that could have helped us finish in first place. That being said, coming back to this game, I really do think it kind of comes back to your cliche. Like, if anybody stepped up a little bit more at the beginning, different game, entirely different game. Like, we created plenty of chances. We did what we needed to. I think of if we hadn't stopped that goal, I could see a draw. If we had stopped that goal, I could see a draw being very realistic. Like, I don't know. There's so many different ways that a game could have gone. It's unfortunate. Jamali had a fantastic game in goal for Pittsburgh, and Dequa was so wide open at the beginning of the game. Like, I don't know. There's not really not much else you can do there. In the first half, we had our chances. Cal Jennings just barely missed a goal, like, wide, over the crossbar. What else? I'm looking back at the highlights again to refresh myself. Pittsburgh had a goal that was called back offsides, which was, I think, the right choice. And we had what, maybe one more chance at the end of the half. And that was about it. So, I'm not going to say like we created more opportunities by any means, but we certainly had our opportunities. And right at the end of the half, Cal Jennings had a chance that I think skimmed the post and went out wide. So, like, Pittsburgh being up 1-0 at the end of the first half is like justified, but I think a fair result at the end of the half would have been 0-0, 1-1. Like, I think by the end of the first half, we had been back and forth enough to the point where we definitely deserved a goal, or Pittsburgh. I'm not gonna say it didn't deserve that first goal. I think we just should have been doing more. If we'd been kind of in our mid-game form in those first 20 seconds, then we were fine. But we weren't. So it's unfortunate. But again, like, we can jump into the second half in a little bit here, but I don't really know what else to say regarding the first half. Like, it sucks. Like, yeah, it is what it is, though. Like, we just weren't on our game early, and
right,
that's that. I think there's a lesson to be learned there. We'll get to the Louisville game eventually, like next weekend, but I guess you don't really – the implications of that game are much less. But once you get into the playoffs and you have that first game at home, like, the other team's going to be wanting to come out strong like this team against – like this team and this Pittsburgh team was.
That's exactly right.
They're
going
to want to come out and send a message early on. I think there's a lesson to be learned from this result that if that happens, like, you're putting yourself in a really dangerous hole. Sure, they're not going to be all as good as Pittsburgh, and you can recover. But we struggled to recover against Hartford.
Yeah, I mean, we remember did.
They scored an early-ish goal that surprised us and sent a message pretty early on that they weren't just going to roll over. And we barely got by them. So we're talking playoffs, better teams, teams that are on their A game. They're going to come out firing in all cylinders, just like this Pittsburgh team.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lesson to be taken away from this game, and I think that's just be on your A game from the get-go. Doesn't really matter for the game against Louisville, but I think it's good practice to kind of keep that momentum on that, you know, firing on all cylinders from the get-go against Louisville.
I think that's perfectly fair. But
yeah,
Carlos, with all of that said, you know, the Rowdies did start poorly. It would have been better if they were, you know, in the middle of the game form here. If you want, we can jump to the second half here, because that was my next question was, in the second half, did you see that the Rowdies were playing significantly differently? Were they creating more chances there? Again, I only got to watch the extended highlights, read the, you know, the coaches' stuff here, but I know we gave up the second goal, and that one was another one that was disappointing. But walk me through how you saw us playing in the second half, and obviously the goal. And then, you know, if it was something that we could have come back from still, or if Pittsburgh just kind of shut us out, because you already mentioned the statistics for the possession in this game, and the possession was very much in our favor. But I think that that's perfectly fine with Pittsburgh in the way that they like to
absolutely
play. You know, they don't mind that. So what did you see in terms of our play?
Yeah, I didn't see us playing like any worse. I'm not gonna say any better. Like, I think we played fine in the first half. We created our chances against a really good team, and we just didn't necessarily capitalize on them. Right off the bat in the first half, there's a great run from Jake Armin, by the way, who has, like, side note, impressed me this season, because I kind of perceived him as a more, like, defensively inclined winger. Maybe that was just kind of my reading on him, and it was entirely wrong, because he's definitely proven me wrong in terms of his offensive capabilities. He's quick, he can dribble well, and he proved it really early on in the second half. The ball eventually fell to Charlie Dennis, who ripped a really impressive kind of like turnaround shot. He wasn't facing the goal and kind of ripped a shot low. Challenged Pittsburgh's goalie Jamali, and it very easily could have ended up in the net. But again, a crazy save from Pittsburgh's goalie. What else? I mean, we created our other chances. Cal Jennings had a decent shot in the 60th minute. I'm looking back at the highlights again. But in terms of like us doing anything differently, I don't think we did. Like, I'm not. I kept joking with Liz about this. Like, tactics is not my forte, but I did start playing Football Manager a couple weeks ago, so I kind of know what I'm talking about. And we didn't really do much differently. Like, it was really just kind of the same game, which is fine because we were creating opportunities. It just never really came to fruition, right? In terms of Pittsburgh's second goal, the reason why I said that was so stupid was because we got possession of the ball like twice and then just gave it away in transition. I think that's one. I believe it was Jake Armin who turned it over. That's definitely one of his lowlights on the night. Turned it over around the midfield. All of a sudden, Pittsburgh's kind of in the counterattack. And again, this is kind of going back to the firing on all cylinders thing. We're kind of like transitioning back onto defense, and everybody seemed to be like, "Oh my god, You know what I mean? Like, we turn the ball over, and then everybody's like kind of sluggish and turning around. It's like, okay, fine, time to go back and play defense. But yeah, Pittsburgh's in full stride by that point, right?
Exactly.
And then, and it was an easy goal for Osuna, who really just had to tap it in. I'm forgetting who got the assist, but ultimately Lasso was left, and I'm not going to, you know, blame this on Lasso at all, because there was nobody on the wing to stop that pass from coming in. Lasso had to decide whether he's going to stick with Osuna or step out and, you know, try and make an interception on the ball before it gets to him. And I think he made the right choice. He's big enough to like try and quick enough to try and get there in time. It's a pretty narrow window, but it was a great pass. And Osuna just really had to tap the ball in by that point. Like, Armin was, you know, still kind of running back. None of our midfielders were back because everybody was transitioning to what we thought was going to be a counterattack for us. But then the ball gets turned over. We're sluggish in return. And by the end of, you know, the 61st minute, we're down 2-0. After that, it seemed like we were just kind of taken out of the game. Like, we had our opportunities, but 2-0 is quote unquote the most dangerous lead in soccer or whatever. I don't really believe that. Like, by the 85th minute, we had that one more chance from JJ Williams. It was a header. Pretty good looking opportunity, actually. One more corner in the 88th minute that ended up kind of on frame, but was never really a challenge for Jamali. And that was it. Like, we had our opportunities before the second goal for Pittsburgh. But after that, like, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, it's over. Like, there, it didn't seem like we really had the intensity needed to come back from down 2-0. Especially knowing that we had to win the game for it to be meaningful at all, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I think that took the wind out of the Rowdy's sails as well, because, like, you need to score 3 goals in the last 30 minutes. You haven't scored 1 yet. And Pittsburgh's defense is fantastic. Jamali is playing like a Jamaican national team player, because that's what he is. Like, so, I mean, by the time Pittsburgh scores the second goal, we're out of it. And it's basically a 3-goal deficit in our eyes. Like, we need to win for it to mean anything. I don't think anybody really believed in themselves by that point. So it's a long way of saying we played well up until that Pittsburgh second goal. We did our thing, and we could have scored our goals if we, you know, capitalized better. I think it's, you know, unfortunate time for Cal Jennings' goal scoring streak to come to an end.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, but like, whatever. Like, Pittsburgh really is, I think, the best team in the league right now. I'm not going to say they have, like, I genuinely think we have a better roster top to bottom, and that, like, our players individually match up better with Pittsburgh than any other team in the league matches up with Pittsburgh. So this is all to say, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, we will likely see them again in the playoffs. I just think it's unfortunately, if we do meet them again in the playoffs, it's unfortunate that's going to be over there in Pittsburgh, because we struggle big time over there. So that's looking forward too far ahead. Like, we still have to get through the last part of the season here. Then we have the playoffs, and we actually have to win a couple games to get there to Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
Assuming they win their games as well. Like, we know how historically first seeded teams do in the USL playoffs, which actually isn't very good. Last year was certainly the exception, not the rule, that the 2 top seeded teams made the playoff or the championship final. So that's a long way of saying, in summary, we played fine this game. I would even go at times to say that we played well this game. I know the score doesn't indicate that. But there's definitely some valuable lessons to be taken away here about how we started the game. And actually, I think that's about it. Like, that's really the only lesson to take away. We have a great team, and if they play our game, then we can do fantastic. But we have to just be kind of on our A game for the full 90 minutes and not for the last, like, for like the middle 60, you know what I mean?
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So it's an unfortunate result, but again, this is like probably a way of me coping. It would have been really difficult to finish in first place had we won this game anyway. Tough result to get in Louisville next week. And then Pittsburgh has a relatively easy-ish opponent next week in Detroit. Detroit kind of is kind of bad. I don't know how they're overperforming. James, I know you didn't get a chance to see most of the second half, but is there anything you think I might have missed here? Did I summarize that well? Am I just kind of blabbering by this point?
No, I think you did summarize it well from what I saw, but you know, if there was something that you're missing, then it's probably just something I'm missing. So I think that honestly, everything that I saw, it looked like you were spot on with that. I just wanted to highlight again, you know, the missed opportunity in the playoffs. Obviously, it would have been very
Absolutely.
difficult, like you said, it would have been very difficult to overcome Pittsburgh had we even won that game. We would have been level on points now, and then we're away to Louisville City, and they are at home or away to Detroit City. I don't
They're
remember.
away to Detroit.
Okay, so I mean, you know, it crazier things could happen,
Yeah.
but have happened. But yeah, either way, it still would have been difficult. It's
Yeah.
unfortunate. I think that the other possibility that you mentioned before we started this was Sacramento is first in the West,
Correct.
so. Let's just assume, for the sake of argument, that the Rowdies got into the final of the USL Championship, and that would be on their 60 points or 63 points, give or
Correct.
take. Sacramento could still have the points advantage. And I'm not sure, like you said, I'm not sure if that's where it comes down to for hosting. I think that it is.
Yeah, I'm like 99% sure it comes down
Yeah,
to points.
right. So, in that sense, it is a lot more of a missed opportunity than anything. The only other thing that I'll say while I mention the missed opportunity is that I think while I was away, I missed how many players returned from injuries. So I saw
Tons.
the lineups a couple of games where players were all sorts of out of position. Like I've seen Jan Ekra kind of lining up at right back at times. So it's good that we have Forrest Lasso back because that was a problem.
Absolutely.
Aaron Guillen
Absolutely.
back, that was a problem. Aaron Guillen's a great player, obviously. Jake Aureman back. We have like an actual left back. Sebastian Dalgard came back while I was away, and that's another huge addition. Like you got to
Yeah.
get all these guys back up to speed and get their fitness up
Absolutely.
again. And I haven't even mentioned the most important player potentially, which is Leo Fernandez.
Right.
Leo Fernandez is probably, let's roll it back a little bit. Leo Fernandez is possibly the best player in the whole of the USL Championship when he is on his form. Last season, he obviously was the best player in the championship. He was named the MVP. So if anyone takes issue with that, you can go and knock on the league's doors in Tampa. I'm fine with that. But
They're actually pretty close by, yeah. I read,
yeah,
they're on West
so,
Shore.
but yeah, I think that Leo Fernandez coming back. When we didn't expect to have him this whole season, that's incredible. You got to get everybody back up to fitness. I guess, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and they can take a lemon in this game against Pittsburgh. Hopefully they can not take a lemon in the game against Louisville City, but also if they do, it's almost immaterial. Not necessarily. Who does Sacramento play in their final game? You said Miami.
Sacramento has Miami at home for their final game.
So, in all honesty, let's just assume that's a win. I don't like doing that, but let's just assume that it is.
Sure.
You know, it's going to be difficult to catch them too. So, this game is in a couple of ways, it appears to be dead rubber. And I'm perfectly happy to let everybody get their fitness back up. And if we take another lemon, it's not going to be that much skin off my back, in all honesty. It's going
Yeah.
to suck. Just because it's the team that we're playing. But at the end of the day, you and I aren't going to be all that I want us to leave Louisville with is our whole team and no injuries. That is what I
Absolutely.
want.
I
But
like I
yeah, that's my little rant there.
I'll save my like Louisville predictions, like lineup and ideas for when we get there in a second if we talk about mention our man of the match for this past game. But like you said, there's very, very little implications regarding that game. So, like, I especially after this loss, honestly, like, I think it's in a way, it's kind of nice to have this buffer game before the playoffs.
I really think so. Now that we're,
Yeah.
it's unfortunate that we lost this game against Pittsburgh, but now that it is in the history books and you can't change it,
Yeah.
let's just move forward with all of the positives that you and I just said.
Yeah, there's a lot of positives with having that buffer game. You know, get some guys that haven't played minutes. Actually, you know, let me save this for like in 3 minutes from now, actually. James, while we before we entirely just start talking about this Louisville game, which again, there's not a ton to mention in terms of implications and whatever, but let's just mention our man of the match. Is that okay with you for this past game?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll just say my man of the match first. Honestly, like everybody played fine. So my man of the match isn't like based off anything too like concrete. But my man of the match was Aaron Guillen, is who I'm going to go with. It's mostly because he had a fine game. Like everybody else on the roster had a fine game. He had a, like, this is mostly me like mentioning him and highlighting him again to mention the fact that he's back from injury, which is huge. This is a great, I mean, it is a really challenging game to like, you know, to have one of your first games back from injury be, but who cares? Like, he's one of the best defenders in the league. Played pretty well. Maybe had a misstep in involved in that first goal. But honestly, everybody did. So I'm not going to like fault him too much for that. I'm going to spoil your man of the match a little bit and say your man of the match was also involved in somewhat at fault, like everybody else was on that first goal. So I really don't think it means that much in terms of like knocking him too many points for that. Like, so all that being said, Aaron Guillen had a fine game, like most other people on the team. But it's mostly just me being really excited that he's back and wanting to highlight the back line a little bit, because him being back in the lineup puts Kleeman on the bench, and Kleeman is a fantastic defender in his own right. So if we have a, you know, backup defender on the bench, that's really, really exciting in a really nerdy way. Like, nobody really gets excited about defenders on the bench. But based on how the season has gone and how many people we've had on the back line, having a defender, like a true defender on the bench, is thrilling. So Aaron Guillen making his return, huge for a variety of reasons, had a good game, and that's why he's my man of the match.
Yeah, as I have caveated already, I was not able to see the full game. I was able to see extended highlights. Based on the extended highlights and what I saw in terms of our actual creation, I chose my man, who is another returnee, or I guess a recent returnee. He might have been in the last couple of games that I didn't see, but it's Jake Aramin. I think that Jake Aramin did very well, and I think that he was able to actually add to us getting forward down the left side too. I think that we are, you know, a pretty cross-heavy team overall, so having somebody who can get himself up the wing, swinging across, that's pretty good. And he's an actual, you know, defensive player too. We don't have to shoehorn somebody into the wrong place, and that is always a positive. So, yeah, that is my man of the match. And I just want to say before we move on to Louisville City, obviously, liking and subscribing is free, but if you think that you might need some new threads coming up, it is getting a little chillier out, just the tiniest, tiniest little bit. You can support this podcast a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all of the designs that we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description, of course, and I ask that you just check it out because I do think that you'll find something you like if you go on there. You will also get a promo code if you would like to buy something that is COYR for 10% off of your order. So please, like I said, check it out, and we will now move on with our Louisville City preview. Carlos, get us started there, and we will go through the implications such as they are.
Absolutely.
Already, as we've stated, not much to do with the table.
Absolutely. So, like you said, the final game of the regular season, time flies, man, is an away game to perennial rivals Louisville City. They have dipped in form this year, which is pretty rare for a team that's always in contention for first place. They currently sit in fifth place with 50 points from 33 games played. We, like we said, are cemented down second place. That will not change no matter what happens, no matter how crazy the results are around the league. We are in second place, and that's not going to change, with 60 points from our 33 games. They are currently in mixed form. They had a win, loss, draw. The last one was against Hartford. They've switched from 4 to 5 in the back this season, with Ali Sumeli in net. In front of him, you have Manny Perez, Wesley Charpy, Sean Toch, Kyle Adams, and Oscar Jimenez. He's been there for a while, by the way. Jimenez has been there for a pretty long time. Midfield of Carlos Moguel, Paolo DiPiccolo, Jorge Gonzalez are usually behind Brian Ownby. And this really, really young, insanely talented forward coming up for Louisville, Wilson Harris. Cameron Lancaster has not been starting recently despite his record. Usually has been Ownby and Harris up top. Harris leads them with 9 goals ahead of Toch with 6. which is crazy, by the way, for a defender. Lancaster on 5, Ownby with 4 assists. We lost to them 2-1 at home way back on September 9th, which was important to us on the table. Would be nice to get a little bit of revenge. But, like, again, like we said earlier, realistically, this game has little to no impact, especially in the Eastern Conference table. So it'd be nice to get a win going into the playoffs, kind of build some momentum. Rowdies are already selling tickets for the playoffs. It's coming up soon. We have that guaranteed home game. Louisville does have a little bit to play for, though, James. I'm looking back at the table. They're behind Memphis by 2 points. They're in 5th place currently.
Right.
To get that guaranteed home game, right, you have to be in, at least in 4th place. Am I mistaken in that? Top 4.
No, I think you're correct.
So Louisville at least has that to play for. They're going to look to win and hope Memphis drops points against New Mexico in New Mexico, which honestly is kind of likely. New Mexico is kind of tough to play at home. Decent team. Weird field. But I guess Memphis is used to playing on a weird field. So that's all to say, Louisville does have a reason to play us and try to win. They definitely want to try and lock in a home game for that first round. That's not guaranteed right now. In fact, they're outside of that, you know, home game position in 5th place. So in theory, they'll be traveling for that first round. Should nothing else change after this weekend. Alternatively, for the Rowdies, James, like we said earlier, nothing's going to change in their spot. They're going to be in 2nd place in the Eastern Conference. The only hypothetical situation where I can see anything being affected by this game, like we said, is if the Rowdies win and Sacramento drops points. The Rowdies are currently on 60 points. Sacramento, the first place team in the Western Conference, has 61 points, which means that if the Rowdies and Sacramento reach the final, I should fact check what I'm about to say, but I'm 98% sure that, like, the home team is decided by those points. So presumably a Rowdy Sacramento final, if Sacramento's ahead on points still, we'd be going over there to Sacramento. If we play any other team in the Western Conference in the final, again, should we make it? Maybe I'm jinxing myself by saying that. We should play at home. So
we are several games away either way. So
we are so this is purely hypothetical. This is literally the only implication I can see.
Right, exactly.
Being affected. Like, that's the only reason I'm mentioning this, is this is the only thing being affected by a Rowdies win or loss, or a Sacramento win or loss. Sacramento has Miami FC at home. Miami does have a lot to play for. They're in 8th place with 41 points. Detroit is in 9th place with 40 points. So Miami is just inside that playoff spot. They're 1 point ahead of the 9th place team. So they're going to look for a result as well to maintain that playoff spot. Okay. That was a long-winded way of saying, like, there's little to no implications here for us. Like, if you're a Rowdies fan, you don't care about anything else. Like, in the rest of the league, doesn't really matter to you. This game doesn't really matter. Unless we play Sacramento in the final, in which case it matters a little bit. So keep that in mind. If you're, like, really, really thinking far ahead, keep an eye on that Sacramento game against Miami on Saturday, and we'll see how this goes. We still have to, like, I think even if we tie, the tiebreaker would be like the head-to-head results. We tied against Sacramento in the head-to-head results, so I'm not really sure what the tiebreaker is after that. Maybe a goal differential, in which case we'd be behind if we draw. So whatever. Point being, don't worry about it too much. I just felt like we should mention that because it's really the only thing that would be affected by this result. James, I'm curious. How do you think we should approach this game? Like, not even in terms of, like, tactics. I'm thinking, like, playoffs are coming up after this, right? It doesn't really matter that much. What should we do lineup-wise? Like, and that's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Lineup-wise, as I've stated, the thing that I care about the most in this game is us getting out of it without any further injuries. The injury situation that we've had over the course of this season has been absolutely ridiculous. Like, honestly, really crazy, the amount of players that we have had out, not just for a game or two games, but for a month, for it's October, so 10 months for a certain Leo Fernandez. The injury situation is insane, and the fact that we have managed to get to second in the East, third in the league, it's ridiculous. A lot of that comes down to JJ Williams and Cal Jennings, and Charlie Dennis, they've been our goal scorers who are all in double digits, but it's just, I want to emphasize how kind of crazy it is that this is the situation we're in when we've had the coaching change in the middle of the season. We've had all of the injury problems that we've had. I mean, you know, Hartford played a game where they had two guys on the bench. We have done that with three guys. I don't remember how many times now, but it was multiple. So it's really, really crazy that we are in the situation and in the spot that we're in right now. All I want is for us to get everybody a little bit more fit, 90 minutes more fit, let's say, without any further injuries. If we can get into the playoffs with an almost entirely fit team and there are no injuries other than, you know, a couple of big ones. I know Abel Caputo is still out. I don't remember who was listed on Eureka's last tweet, but Leo is back. Jake Arman is back. Sebastian Dalgard is back. Aaron Gee and Forrest Lasso. Jan Ekra was out at times. It's crazy where we are right now. Guys, like, this is the big thing. Get us some fitness in this game, and if we lose it, like, do not give it a second thought, in all honesty. The only thing that really matters is whether or not there are any further injuries. I know that it's hard to go and play as a professional. To be a professional player, you have to have such a drive that you need to beat everyone as a kid, because that's how you get to be good enough to become a professional. So, like, you have that instinct. But in this game, my God, take it easy. Like, take it as easy as you can. Let Louisville bring the game to us. Let's sit back and defend, absorb and defend. And if we get a break, great. That's fine. But, like, I really got to be honest here. I don't want any muscle strains. I don't want any pulls. I don't want any twists, any breaks, anything like that. That's what we have to avoid. So, that is where I'm coming at this game from. And with that, Carlos, if you don't have anything else, we can jump into my predictions, because it's pretty much on board with that.
I will say, like, I'm kind of curious, like, lineup wise, how we approach this, because on one hand, you know, there's the very distant implication of a final against Sacramento and what that would look like. How much value and weight do you put into that as a coach thinking about the games before that? Probably very little. I'm thinking, like, what do you do with lineup? Do you put in your backups? Do you let guys haven't played much get some action this season? Do you let Leo Fernandez take this as an opportunity to kind of, like, get some minutes and see how he feels, right? Like, again, realistically,
I wouldn't start him, but more definitely.
Yeah, like, but I mean, that's a question for Nikki Law. Like, what's he going to do? Do you start him? Do you take him off at halftime? Like, it's an opportunity to kind of test him out, see how he feels in a pretty, you know, competitive setting in Louisville against a team that's still fighting for, you know, that home game. So they're going to be playing, right? I'm curious. I don't know. I really don't know how it's going to go. Like, it's fully up to Nikki Law's discretion and what he thinks and what his attitude will be about that. I would definitely give Leo more minutes than he's had, you know, in the past game, because why not? You know, and if it looks like he might be, like, you know, kind of getting winded, like, take him off, like, whatever. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, right. Like, that's kind of the point of this game. That's why I think having it as a buffer game for the playoffs is really interesting and certainly a benefit. So, let's see what we can do. Doesn't really matter. I think by this time next week, when we're talking about this, you know, what at that point will be this past weekend, like, I don't really think we'll be talking too much about the result. More so who played, how long they played, how did Leo Fernandez look? More importantly, what are the playoffs starting to shape up to be? Who are we going to be playing? And do we have a full squad to do it? Right. So I think that's kind of how I'm approaching this game. By the way, I'm never going to forgive Monteverde Academy for injuring Leo Fernandez in preseason. Like, what the hell? What are we doing here, guys? So if you have any association to Monteverde Academy, I don't like you. No, I'm joking. I don't really care. But it is unfortunate. It's so random that it was a preseason game in which that happened, by the way. So, long-winded way of saying, again, This game doesn't really matter. I honestly don't really care how it goes. Like, I don't dislike Louisville enough to be like, oh, it's a classic, you know, it's a rivalry game. We have to go out there and win. Like, no.
No. You know?
Like, we don't. Like, I don't really care about
legitimately. And like I said, it's a hard instinct to turn off, but we don't.
Yeah. So I think Louisville has more to play for than we do. And I'm totally okay predicting a loss, which is what I'm going to predict. I think we're going to lose like 2-1. But again, I just don't really care. It'd be nice to kind of get a win going into the playoffs, but Louisville has more to play for. They want that home game. It's much harder to play Louisville at home than it is away. By the way, I think it's my first like loss prediction all season. Like I never predict a loss.
Like, it might be. I don't know.
So why not? Just throw it in there at the end of the year. So again, I'm more curious about like who's going to be playing than how we play. I'm curious about how Leo Fernandez looks. If he gets minutes, I'm sure he will. Screw it. Like, let Ariel Martinez start. Like, I don't really care. You know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you want to keep like Cal Jennings in good form, try and give him an opportunity to keep his goal scoring form going like into the playoffs. But again, like who plays or not doesn't really matter that much so long as there's no injuries.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that is truly what matters as much. But when you get to a point where every game is like a final, like, that's when it matters to have all your players and who you start and how they play, obviously. This game, whatever. Louisville, I don't really dislike them enough to be like, again, we have to win. Like, it doesn't matter. So I'm going to predict a loss. And again, I don't really care about it. Like, I'm not saying that to be pessimistic or, like, apathetic towards this game. Like, there's certainly things to keep an eye out for, but it's certainly not what the result is or how we play.
No.
Like, I'd be fine if we just started, like, a bunch of academy kids, really. I would be totally okay with that. If we just took, like, TBU and threw him out against Louisville and see what happens.
Yeah, where's Tate Johnson? Bring him back from the MLS next pro division.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it actually might be more entertaining to see how the TBU kids do. But whatever. That's my prediction. 2-1 loss. I don't really have a reason for it other than Louisville has more to play for than we do. And, you know, if we see him in the playoffs, we'll be in higher seed than them, and then we'll have them at home, and we can beat them for real. Like, I don't really care. Whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that. Along those same lines, it appears that both producer Eureka and I have taken a 1-1 draw. And keep an eye out. We are looking for the guest spot prediction. So that will be out before the game, which is played, obviously, on Saturday at 7:30. Yeah, I think that'll do it for us on the Louisville City stuff here. So, Carlos, good wrap up there. I think that we beat that to death. We do not care if this is a loss, but if you guys do, let us know why we're wrong. We'll take that. So we'll move now into extra time. Obviously, because you can hear my voice and see me if you're on YouTube. I am back from Scotland. I had a great time. I will probably do an off-season episode about it because there was a lot of soccer involved in it. Like I said, thank you to my wife for humoring us on our honeymoon and going to all of these different things. But ultimately, I saw 5 stadiums in person, 4 of which I got to walk through the players tunnel. That's honestly pretty nuts. I've been through the players tunnel at the Rowdies game, just like, you know, doing press stuff for the podcast. But other than that, I haven't been through the players tunnel in any other stadium in the world. So I don't know. I don't know how I got so lucky with these. I will give one hopefully brief anecdote about that. So my dad is from the city of Dundee. And when we got to Dundee, there's this giant hill at the top of, you know, at the top of the town. So my wife and I climbed that. We were beat to death afterwards. It was crazy trying to get up there. We didn't realize how, you know, steep the angle was going to be. Apparently all of the Scottish towns in the world are built, or all of the Scottish towns are built on hills. I don't know who chose that, but when we started walking down the hill, you know, I was like, I would like to see these 2 stadiums in Dundee, which are for Dundee United and Dundee FC. They're right across the street from each other, like literally right across the street from each other. So I wanted to see that. I found a car that had a taxi sign on it, and I saw somebody getting into that car. I waved at him, and so he pulled the car over, and he said, "Where are you going?" And I said, I'm trying to go to 10 of this. That's the name of Dundee United's stadium. So he said, where? And I said, Tannadice. I was worried that I was mispronouncing it. As it turns out, I was, because it's Tannadice, but that's neither here nor there. He says, get in the car, and he shows us his Dundee United cap. So we were like, okay, cool, and we get in the car. We start talking about, you know, my connections there, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he says he's been going there since he was seven. We get to the stadium, and he's like, I got to get you guys in. And we're like, no, that's fine. We can just take pictures from the outside. We didn't expect to get into the stadium to begin with. That would be silly. But he persists, and he goes into this employee door that has a facial recognition scanner that allows employees in and doesn't allow anyone else in. So he's standing in front of it, and five times it scans his face and says facial recognition denied, access also denied. So he's getting like grumpy at the machine, and it was kind of funny, but either way, he's so persistent that he gets out of that little enclave and he walks up to another door, can't get in that door, keeps walking. And finally, the kit man in the Dundee United van pulls up, and he's like going to leave for the day. But he sees us and he starts talking to our taxi driver, George. And eventually he agrees to let us into the stadium where he was going to, you know, put stuff away. So Jamie and I are like, oh my God, we're getting into the stadium. Or at least I am. I'm sure she thought the situation was crazy. I don't know if she was excited about it, but it was certainly crazy. So we get in there and he starts, you know, he's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to get all the way through. And again, we're like, you don't have to. I just wanted to see it. He takes us through the player tunnel. And he tries the door and he finds that the door is open and he opens the player tunnel and he lets us out onto the field. And I'm just absolutely blown away. It was crazy. We took a couple of pictures. George took a picture with us. I wish we had thought to do the same, but it was super funny how all of that worked out. And ultimately, when we were leaving, I tried to pay him and he said, no, I don't need that. And I was like, well, you know, you got us to the stadium. And he was like, yeah, but I wasn't working. I was going around to my mom's house for tea. So because I had told him where I was going and he's a Dundee United fan, he decided to take us there, even though he wasn't actually working. So that was my probably not so brief anecdote, but it was a very silly story. And yeah, we were eternally grateful to George for getting
Shout
us
out George.
There. Yeah. Shout he, out George. He was very good to us. And then Dundee FC Stadium was right across the street. So we took a couple of pictures, but, you know, there wasn't much to see from that angle. Anyway, that was the one thing I'll talk about in this one. Like I said, I'll probably do an off-season episode about the trip. But otherwise, it was a great time. And if you want to go to Scotland, I do recommend it. Now, Carlos, if you would please take us away with the rest of Extra Time before I drag this out any further.
No, I will just say that international break is pulling up soon. This week, plenty of international games happening around the world. South American qualifiers ongoing this week. Ecuador plays Bolivia away on Thursday, which will be a fun one. And Colombia at home on Tuesday, which is always a good one. Side note, Ecuador called up this guy, 23-year-old, born in Germany, to a Ghanaian dad. His dad's from Ghana and his mom is Ecuadorian. So an incredible like cultural mix happening in this guy, John Yeboa, and playing in the Polish first division, kind of under the radar for the past year or most of his life in terms of Ecuadorian like soccer. At some point last year, there were whispers about this guy who is half Ecuadorian playing in the Polish first division and playing really well. Just a random side note here. He got called up by Ecuador for the first time. I'm not sure how his Spanish is. Like, I'm really curious to see how he like develops with the team. Like, he was born in Germany. Dad's from Ghana. Mom's Ecuadorian. Played in Germany for first few years of his life. Played for Wolfsburg. Now he's playing for a team in Poland that I won't even try to pronounce their name, but they just beat Lechia Warsaw last week. So they're doing pretty well. They're top three in the table right now, and he's playing really, really well on the wing. So keep an eye out for him. Fun cultural kind of clash in the world of soccer. I know some people on Twitter that follow Ghana, soccer in Ghana, were pretty disappointed that Ecuador got to him first. So that's pretty fun. Fun storylines in the entire world of international soccer. Keep an eye out for all of that. I will be tweeting like hell about Ecuador for the next week. And I'll be tweeting about how this guy plays as well, because I'm really, really excited to see how he plays and how he deals with the altitude, because that's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
First game's in Bolivia, which is even greater altitude than Quito, Ecuador. So we'll see how that plays out. Going from that back to RBLR stuff, check out our new show, RBLR Deportes. And if you know anybody who'd like to help contribute and help build that podcast out, let us know. Looking for Spanish speaking podcasters to talk about the entire world of Tampa Bay sports. That's going to be a fun time. Keep an eye out for all that. New episodes coming from RBLR Deportes. All your Tampa Bay sports content in Spanish. And last but not least, I will advertise for free for the Rowdies. Get your playoff tickets ASAP. They're going to start selling out really, really quickly. Playoffs are a fun, fun time. And it's like truly what the whole season leads to, right? I mean, this is it. Playoffs, win or go home. So plenty of fun stuff incoming. We have our home game guaranteed. We'll see if that keeps going, depending on how the results go. So support the team and get your playoff tickets ASAP. I know all the staff over there and Joe are just itching to get the playoffs started, and I'm sure they'll help you out with your tickets as well. James, that's all of extra time. Do we have anything else to say?
No, I think that the last thing that we have here is just to say thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We always appreciate, of course, when you do that. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are on social media. We are too. You can get at me on Twitter if you are so inclined. I talked about a couple of my trips in Scotland, and most of it was soccer related, but I am at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
At Carlos TPA 10 on Twitter. Drop the follow. Come see me talk about Ecuadorian soccer. And literally, I've just been retweeting tweets about this guy, John Yeboah. It's been really interesting to see his like development and seeing what he can do and what's coming for him. Random side note, one of my latest retweets was that the Georgetown University Student Association Senate voted not to certify the results of the 2023 executive election in the student government. So I guess there's like a coup happening in the student government, and I don't really know what's going on. That's pretty fun stuff. If you want to learn about what happens with that, come drop a follow. I don't even really know what's happening there, but apparently there's just, I don't know. There's been lots of jokes about that, and I've been tweeting out about my university's dysfunctional student government. So that's a fun time as well.
All right. Well, there you have it. And if you would, please like and subscribe to our podcast. Obviously, we would appreciate you to do that. I assume that you have if you've gotten this far, but you can also get the full experience on YouTube. If you don't want that, we are on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. Wherever you get podcasts, we are there. So for another week with a game in hand, no points, and with another week with a game coming up, we will just leave it here. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.